Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Dr. David Hamilton. He's the author of 12 books, including Why Woo Woo Works and How Your Mind Can Heal Your Body. His latest, The Joy of Actually Giving a F, that's all I'm going to say, looks at how kindness can cure stress and make you happy. Welcome to the show, David.
Oh, thank you, Hannah. It's very nice to be here. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. It's lovely to have you with us. And I'm sorry I can't say the name of your book in full.
Yeah, I know. When I started writing it, it didn't really occur to me that when I came to do interviews that that might actually go against me a wee bit.
Yeah, no, it's funny. But it made me smile because we're so used to hearing people say the opposite, talk about the fact that they don't give an F about things, as opposed to saying, I do give an F about things. You don't really hear people saying that so much. So I thought straight away, it's clever how you've spun it on its head like that.
Yeah, it's a kind of counter to the whole idea of just not giving a F about things and just saying and doing what we like without any regard for the consequences.
Yeah, and that's not a great way to be, is it? Let's be honest.
Yeah. So I just really dived into all the reasons why, you know, being kind benefits our health, you know, how it like it really be so beneficial to your mental health, you know, like literally rewiring your brain so that things like states like happiness become more accessible to you, how it benefits your heart, your immune system, all these different ways. I think people just don't realise.
Yeah. So you look a lot in the book as to why we should be, let's say, caring about things and what we should be caring about. And, you know, it gets people really thinking about what matters, I suppose.
Yeah, because I make a big point of saying we should be caring about each other. And I'm not talking about, you know, the big grand acts of kindness everyone knows about. I'm really talking about the everyday things, you know, the checking in on people, those little words or little shows of encouragement and support. It's these everyday small things that I think really make a difference to our overall happiness, but really a difference to our lives in general, because we start to feel closer to people. The world starts to feel like a smaller place.
Yeah, it's true. And we're all busy as well, aren't we? And it's really important to kind of try and, you know, be able to take a moment and show appreciation to people and think about who and what matters, as opposed to just being sucked in by our busyness.
Yeah, and the thing is, busyness in our society, it causes us so much stress. And one of the most important points that I made in the book is that neurologically and physiologically, kindness is actually the opposite of stress. Most people, if I ask people, what's the opposite of stress? Nearly everyone will say the opposite of stress is peace or calm. But peace or calm are not the opposite of stress, Hannah. They're the absence of stress. In the brain and throughout your body, including your heart and all that, the opposite of the experience of stress is the experience of kindness. Literally, when you be kind or even witness an act of kindness, your body produces substances that literally neutralize the effect of stress, just in the same way, you know, like an alkali will neutralize an acid. The conditions inside your body that get created when you be kind literally neutralize the conditions of stress.
Wow, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, and it's because we're genetically wired for this. We actually have kindness genes, and we sort of power them up, so to speak, when we be kind to people.
Yeah. We see a lot of unkindness on social media, don't we? People will be posting hashtag be kind on one post, and then the next thing they write on social media is being horrible to someone. And you think, hold on a second, you've just said be kind. Listen to your own advice.
I know. And I think one of the things that I'm trying to do is big up all the stuff about kindness. I don't think we hear about the importance of it enough. I think we just get so casually used to saying the kind of be kind. But I think one of the reasons I wrote this book is to create more of a dialogue, because research shows that the more we're thinking about and talking about it, the more we know about all the different ways that kindness impacts us, the more likely we are actually to act on an opportunity to help someone when it presents itself in our lives.
Mm. Something that's been talked about a lot here where I live in southern Spain is the importance of supporting those around you. I've seen a couple of posts on social media recently saying how, you know, we're very quick to support people who we don't even know, people who might be really, really famous, really wealthy, and kind of go, oh, love you, love what you do, think you're great on social media, but kind of stand back as to supporting people that are in our inner circle, if you like, people we know really well, because there's, I don't know, some weird kind of jealousy, I guess, with a lot of people, or thinking, oh, how come they've got that when I haven't, or why do they deserve to have this when I don't? And you don't, people don't tend to kind of support the people and be kind to the people closest to them sometimes, which is a very weird thing.
It is a weird thing. And the thing is, we're actually wired in such a way that we're supposed to be kind to the people closest to us. And when we don't, it actually generates more stress. And I think that so one of the things that people probably find without realising is when we take our focus away from our immediate people closest to us, it actually introduces the body to stress. It's kind of nature's way of saying that we're actually genetically wired in such a way as to look out for the people closest to us first. And so when we don't, it almost goes against the grain, so to speak. So we're actually supposed to be looking out for people closest. And then there's a ripple effect. You know, it's like I always talk about, you know, if you drop a pebble in a pond and it creates a wee splash and there's a wee wave, and at the other side of the pond, there's a wee lily pad rising up and down. And it's rising because of the wave. But when we do wee acts of kindness, particularly in our local communities, in our families, in our households, then it also creates a wave, but it's not through water and it's not lily pads that's lifting, it's people's spirits. And we change the world not by trying to fix stuff, you know, miles away from us, but by fixing stuff right in front of us. And that's where we create the ripple effect. You can only create the ripple where you are.
Yeah.
And so when we look out for the people closest to us, we create this wee splash that lifts the spirits and the hopes of people. And then we start to create a wave.
Yeah. One of the things you mentioned is the idea, which I've never heard before, and I like it, the idea of kindfulness. So like mindfulness, but with a sprinkle of kindness.
Yeah. And you know, that came from one of my triggers actually for writing the book is I came across some research that, you know, mindfulness as a meditation is so well known. I mean, it's practiced all over the world. But it was originally a different sort of technique. It was originally part of a set of guidelines in Tibetan Buddhism, you know, a couple of thousand years ago. It was originally part of a set of guidelines around being a more compassionate and mindfully kind individual, you know, being more considerate and more responsible in the things that you say and the way that you act, so that you become a more positive, you know, force in your community, in the world. But when mindfulness made its debut in the West, all that kind of stuff was stripped away, because otherwise it wouldn't be palatable to people in the West. We don't want all the kind of spiritual stuff and all the bells and incense. So when it made its debut in the West, it was actually a part of a stress reduction program that was so successful that mindfulness became really big, really, really mainstream. But Buddhist scholars had started to worry. Surely there'll be some consequences, because mindfulness meditation was originally part of a framework about being a more kind person in society. So some research actually found, when they started to look at this, is what mindfulness does is it stretches you on the inside. And what that means is it stretches you in the direction of your existing personality. People who are already kind, who are high in empathy, who practice mindfulness, become kinder.
Yeah.
But people who are low in empathy, people who have values, core values around just self and their own self-interest, people who are narcissistic, when they practice mindfulness, actually become more selfish. They become less kind than they would have done had they not done any mindfulness at all. And so what research then looked at is, what would happen if we added a wee sprinkle of kindness into the mindfulness practice, a wee bit of education on the importance of kindness, maybe a couple of thoughts during a mindfulness meditation practice, just for imagining what it must be like for people who are suffering and just saying a really silent prayer for them as part of our practice. And what they found then is that everyone who did mindfulness became kinder. So that's why I talk about kindfulness in the book. It's just a wee sprinkle of kindness into an existing mindfulness practice.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Look at some of the kindness conundrums, when it's hard to be kind. When is that, do you think, then?
Yeah, so I think this is more about real life, isn't it? Because kindness isn't always clear cut. How many times do we have the experience that you're kind to one person and then someone else accuses you of, well, you've been kind to them, that's mean you're not being kind to me, or how do you be kind if someone's not being kind to you? So I call these conundrums because they're really a reflection of real life. So to take an example, how do you be kind if someone's not being kind to you? There's three ways to think about it, and it depends on the individual situation you find yourself in. The first thing I would say is, do not let someone else's unkindness change who you are, right? The second thing is if you can, what I try to do is I try to reach for that thought that you never know what people are dealing with behind closed doors or what they have gone through in the past that shaped how they're acting right now. If they're being an ass right now, for example, you don't know what they're dealing with behind closed doors,
yeah,
or what might have brought them to this point. So I try to reach for that thought first. And what that does, it doesn't necessarily change the situation, but it might change how you feel about it. And then it'll change how you respond. You might find yourself with that bit of clarity, able to respond rather than react. And you're responding from a much more empowered position rather than reacting from a threatened position.
Yeah.
The third way, and it depends on the context, is to turn it around and say, okay, I need to be kind to myself here. This has gone on too long and it's too hard. Life is not supposed to be hard like this. So kindness to yourself might be setting up some boundaries, a strong conviction of no, or simply leaving the room. Whatever leaving the room for you means, it might mean leaving the situation or even leaving the relationship, depending upon the situation you find yourself in.
Mm. I think everyone can relate to how you feel when you either say something not very nice or think something not very nice compared to how you feel when you say something nice and think something nice about someone. And I'm thinking particularly with what you said, if someone hasn't been nice to you, it's easy for your reaction to not be nice to them back and think, well, why should I be nice to them? They haven't been nice to me. But then you're always carrying that kind of resentment and, oh, well, I don't like them because they don't like me. And it doesn't feel nice in your body, where, you know, that expression, kill someone with kindness. If someone's been horrible to you and you just kind of give back kindness, you feel so much better in your body. You really can tell the difference.
You really can tell the difference. And I suggest that as a kind of barometer is trust your own feelings. Because again, coming back to what I said, we're wired for kindness. We have kindness genes. They're about 100 million years old. They're some of the oldest genes in the human genome. And so that nice feeling you get, that satisfying feeling, that's like nature's reward. It's like nature giving you a high five to say you're on the right track here. But when you know in your heart it doesn't feel right, that's nature saying, we just need a wee tweak here. Is there another way to think about this situation before you go and react? Is there something else you can do here? And so almost trust your feelings, because your feelings are coming from some, really from our ancient genes that are saying we're actually supposed to help each other out. We all live in this floating marble in space together. We're all family in one respect, whether we like it or not. So we really would be better poised to look out for each other, help each other out best we can.
Mm. It's not always easy, though, is it? No. I mean, it sounds great, you know, if someone's not been nice to you, or if someone's shouting at you or being unreasonable, it's very difficult to just smile and send them love and be kind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things I talk about is the importance of kindness to yourself. In fact, the longest chapter in my book is how to practice self-kindness. Mm. And I think there's a scale. And the scale, at one end of the scale, it feels like your cup is overflowing, you know, to use a well-used analogy. And you've got plenty of time and energy and space in your life and resources with which to help other people. But the other end of the scale, it feels like your cup is almost dry. You're almost working on fumes. And these are the points where there's not much of us available with which to be kind to other people. So what we have to do is turn the whole thing around and say, right now, I need to look after my own mental health. I need to look out for myself. I've got to do something to top up my own cup, so to speak. And I think there's a sweet spot between both of these extremes that depends on the context of your life. It depends on what's happening right now. It depends on how life has been to this point. But there's a balance somewhere between kindness to others and kindness to yourself. And that's the point where you have enough in the tank, so to speak, where you feel more psychologically able to help other people, but also to conduct yourself in a way that says, well, you know what, this doesn't work for me. I need some boundaries right here. But if your cup is empty, then we're not mentally clear enough to be able to make these judgments.
Yeah. Oh, so a lot of good advice there, David. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It must be kind of not difficult, but do you feel the pressure when you're given labels like the King of Kindness? Do you think, I've got to be?
Do you know, Hannah, what I keep saying to people when they say King of Kindness, I keep saying, well, maybe King of writing about kindness, but certainly not kindness itself. Because, you know, I feel an absolute awe when I look at people in the front line, people who are caring every day, because you have to. And people, you know, in the medical professions, and, you know, people everywhere in the world, people in charities, people who are just beautifully kind human beings, mm-hmm. who are literally every day doing wonderful things just because they're nice people. And I feel an awe of these people. So I am the last person in the world to say King of Kindness is me. I might say King of Writing About, because I probably write about it more than most people, but certainly not being it. But, you know, a journalist asked me a couple of weeks ago, has writing about kindness made me a kinder person? And the answer is yes, but not because writing about kindness itself has made me more kind. It's because being so aware of it and the importance of it has made me acutely aware of where I fall short. Yeah. It's made me acutely aware of my humanness and how many times I don't manage, despite my best intentions, despite the fact I write about it, it makes me acutely aware of where I don't manage all that well to be as kind a person as I want to be. And so by recognising where I don't manage so well, it's that's made me a kinder person.
Mm. It's true. So much of our behaviour comes down to recognising our behaviour. You know, there's plenty of people that go through life without even thinking about their behaviour or where it comes from or why they feel a certain way when people say things to them. You know, they don't go to therapy. They don't speak to their partner or their family about it. And they just, well, don't give an F, basically.
Yeah.
So once we do start to understand and question why we are a certain way, we can start to do something about it, can't we?
Absolutely. It's just becoming more, again, more mindfully aware, more mindfully kind, really. This comes back to what we talked about earlier. I think one of the things I'm trying to do is get more of a, through this book, is to get more of a public dialogue about kindness, because the more we're talking about it, the more it's in your head, and the more, one, you're likely to be kinder, but the more, two, you're likely to notice when you're not.
Yeah, for sure. Well, if people are inspired, they should definitely get a copy of the book. It's called The Joy of Actually Giving an F. It's available on our website, tre.radio. It's by Dr. David Hamilton, who we've been chatting with today. David, thank you so much for joining us. Lovely to chat with you.
Thanks so much. It's been my absolute pleasure. Have a nice day.
You too.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.